gonna take you through my day and show you what I typically eat for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snacks. I'm a diabetic, so my choices when it comes to food and pretty much anything else I do are made with one thing in mind. I want to keep my blood sugar in the target range, ideally between 80 and 180 milligrams per deciliter. Quick disclaimer, this is not medical advice. What works for me might not work for you. You should always discuss your meal and your medication with a healthcare professional. Let's start with my morning routine. I always start my day with a big glass of water. My fasting blood sugar today is only 80 milligrams per deciliter and it's dropping. That's a bit low for me, and so I'm also having a few sips of fruit juice so that my glucose doesn't get too low on my way to work. I don't eat breakfast or drink coffee early in the morning. I prefer to get my body moving first, so I quickly get ready and leave the house. It's 6:30, I just got to the office and I wanted to tell you what my blood sugar is, but my CGM seems to be a bit confused. Right now I don't see the numbers. Let's hope this will get back on track. I usually eat breakfast between 8 and 9 a.m. in the office, and today I'm having my favorite breakfast bowl. Overnight oats, which I preferred last night, with almond milk, chia seeds, banana, mango, berries, sprinkled with cinnamon and maca root powder. Luckily, my CGM is back on track and my blood sugar before breakfast is 5.3 millimol or 95 milligrams per deciliter. Exactly where I want it to be. By the way, I know that the banana and the mango in my breakfast bowl will spike my blood sugar quite fast. They have high glycemic index. That's why I complement them with steel-cut oats, chia seeds, and berries. These all have relatively low glycemic index and they are full of fiber, so they help me slow down the blood sugar spike from this breakfast. And this breakfast bowl has about 70 net carbs. I'm a type 1 diabetic, so I need to get a pre-meal insulin dose, aka bolus, before I eat this breakfast. And I do that with my insulin pump. My insulin to carb ratio these days is 18, so I divide 70 carbs by 18, which gets me to 3.9 units. And that's exactly how much insulin I tell my pump to give me. Although I used fast-acting insulin in my insulin pump, from my experience, I need to bolus approximately 20 minutes before I eat this breakfast to avoid a big post-meal blood sugar spike. I wait 20 minutes and then I can finally eat my breakfast. When I'm in the office, I usually work on writing scripts, recording and editing videos, so it's quite easy for me to take a glance at my continuous glucose monitor and check my blood sugar levels frequently. About 1 hour after breakfast, my blood sugar is at 5.7 millimol or 103 milligrams per deciliter. That's a very good number. That's exactly what I kind of wanted to be during this time. And I'm having a cup of black coffee to keep myself focused for the rest of the morning. Now, coffee is sneaky, although it has only 5 calories and 0 carbs. When I drink it early in the morning, it can spike my blood sugar quite a bit. But when I drink it later during the day, it usually doesn't spike my blood sugar at all. And that's why I drink my first and last coffee around 10 a.m.
1 hour after drinking coffee, my blood sugar is still at 5.7 or 103 millimoles per deciliter. So you can see that the coffee didn't really do much. Before I show you what I'm having for lunch today, it's time for a workout. I do a lot of stretching and mobility training with a little bit of strength training. And during this kind of workout, my blood sugar always goes down. What I do to prevent my blood sugar from going severely low, which could be life-threatening for me, is I suspend my basal insulin delivery on my insulin pump about 60 minutes before the workout session starts. This way I will have less insulin on board when I'm exercising. I also always eat a banana or drink a small bottle of natural fruit juice, around 25 carbs, right before the workout. This is another way to help my blood sugar high enough during the workout. Now, anyone like me who is on insulin should always have glucagon option on hand in case their blood sugars go severely low unexpectedly. Gvoke HypoPen is a ready-to-use glucagon rescue pen for severe low blood sugar emergencies that anyone can administer in 2 simple steps. By the way, this is just a trainer pen. Gvoke HypoPen should be kept in the sealed pouch until when you need to use it. You might get in a situation where you pass out or have a seizure, and that's when you might need help from someone else. That's why it's always a good idea to instruct the people around you how and when to administer glucagon to you and to where you keep it. You just pull red and push yellow. It's that simple. Gvoke HypoPen has no visible needle and it doesn't need to be kept in a fridge. It stays stable for 30
every month at room temperature.
By the way, my blood sugar before the workout today was at 97 milligrams per deciliter, or 5.4 millimole, and after the workout it is at 104 milligrams per deciliter, or 5.8 millimole. I was able to keep it almost straight line during the workout, and I didn't need glucagon, but you never know. So make sure you always have glucagon option on you, and if you're in the US, go check out the Gvoke HypoPen at gvokeglucagon.com. I just finished the workout and I'm resuming the basal insulin on my pump. And because I had the basal insulin suspended for the past 2 hours, I have almost no active insulin left on board right now. So I will also take a small bolus right after the workout to avoid a spike in my blood sugar in the next hour. Finally, we're moving on to lunch. And I'm having it in one of my favorite restaurants. This is a typical Middle East buffet. They have lots of healthy options, but also some less healthy options. I usually go for lots of vegetables, leafy greens, legumes, fruits, nuts, and sometimes a little bit of meat and hummus, but not too often. When I'm eating out, I really love buffets. Most of the time they have these labels, which tell you what exactly is in each meal. You can fully control the portion sizes. They always have a scale, so you can weigh the food, and you can fully control when exactly the meal arrives. And this makes it so much easier to manage and control your blood sugar. In a normal restaurant, I never know how big the portion will be until I see it. And I don't know how long it will take for the meal to arrive. And those things make it difficult to estimate how much insulin to take and when exactly to take it. Today I'm having some chicken, cauliflower, beans, quinoa with avocado, chickpea, green leaf salad, and a few pieces of fruit. It's a nice balanced plate. Now you might be thinking, how do I know how many carbs are in this meal and how much insulin I should take? Well, I don't know that, but I use a little hack that I learned from one of my diabetic friends. These semi-healthy, mostly plant-based buffets always weigh your meal and give you a receipt. And I always take this receipt and look at how heavy the meal was in grams. Today it was 672 grams. And I divide the grams by 10, and that's my estimate net carb count. 67 net carbs, that's 3.7 units of insulin delivered. By the way, my lunch is loaded with fiber from all the veggies, and it's quite high in healthy fats and protein. My muscles need protein after that workout. That's why my blood sugar will increase much slower after my lunch compared to after my breakfast. My breakfast was mostly fruits. And that's why I don't pre-bolus for lunch. I just take the insulin and eat right away. And it worked because my blood sugar after lunch didn't spike above 135 milligrams per deciliter or 7.5 millimole. I'm back in the office and getting ready for an afternoon diabetes coaching call with a client. And in the meantime, I'm having my afternoon snack, keeping it very simple today. A handful of almonds and a handful of dried organic apricots. My blood sugar is at 6.7 millimole right now. That's about 120 milligrams per deciliter. And I don't worry about my blood sugar spiking too much after this snack. A handful of almonds, about 50 grams, has only about 5 net carbs. And apricots are one of the most blood sugar friendly fruits. Dried apricots, although they are sweet, have a glycemic index of only 32, which is very low for fruit. I'm having about 10 pieces of apricots, which is about 35 net carbs, and I'm taking 2 units of extra insulin for this snack. On my way home, I got some groceries, and it's time to make dinner. And this dinner will be very special. I'm making a variation on the Icarian longevity stew. This meal is inspired by a traditional meal from the Icaria Blue Zone, which is known as one of the areas with the longest life expectancy in the world. And it just so happens that this meal is very blood sugar friendly and super simple to make. Extra virgin olive oil in the pan, saute a large onion with leek or fennel, 4 cloves of garlic until they are soft. Then I add ground cumin and quickly toast it, and then I go in with a cup of whole grain brown rice and 2 cups of pre-cooked beans. I mix everything together, add a large ripe tomato, 2 tablespoons of tomato paste, 2 bay leaves, and enough water to cover everything by about an inch. Now we bring it to boil, reduce heat, and simmer until the rice and the beans are cooked. Just before I turn it off, I add some chopped fresh dill, season it with salt, and add some more extra virgin olive oil to make it creamier. My pre-dinner blood sugar is at 6.4 or 116 milligram per deciliter. A big bowl of this longevity stew has about 70 to 80 net carbs, so I'm going to bolus about 4 units right before I eat this. And this meal is loaded with fiber, so my blood glucose spike from this should be minimal.
So good. So good.
And you see that my blood sugar about an hour after eating this meal is at 5.3 or 96 milligrams per deciliter. So this meal really worked very well. I usually don't eat anything else after dinner, and I don't need any more pre-meal insulin except for the basal insulin that is delivered to me by the insulin pump 24/7. I get that throughout the day and throughout the night. If you want more inspiration for diabetes friendly foods and meals, there is 7 superfoods I absolutely love to eat and I think every diabetic should try. If you want to know what they are, click on this video and watch it next. I will see you there. Ciao.